I tell you, the special music this morning has been outstanding. And I have been ministered to. And I am humbled at the goodness of the Lord. Why in the world would God be good to me? But He is. It's good to you too. Aren't you glad for the Lord's goodness? God is good, brethren. God is good. I want to talk to you this morning about that, the goodness of God. You have your Bible open to Psalm 73, and today I'm going to try to lay a foundation out of this psalm. This is my favorite psalm. This became my favorite psalm several years ago when I began to study the psalm. I did not know much about the psalm until I read a book by Martin Lloyd-Jones, who is one of my favorite authors. And when I read the book, it so stirred me that I just dove into this psalm, and God began to minister to me about how good He had been, was, and would continue to be to me. And I've never looked back. I can truly say with the psalmist, God is good. I want to ask you a question this morning before we get started. You see, the psalm begins that God is good. And then if you look at the way it ends in verse number 28, it says, it is good, but it is good for me to draw near to God. So the psalm begins with God is good, and then the psalm ends with what it was good for the psalmist to do, but in between, well, it's not so good. The psalmist had a predicament that every person in this room and on some level has gone through, on some level. Now, I want to admit some things right up front here. I'm not really sure all that the psalmist is encountering. I told you a couple of Wednesday nights ago when you were here that the Old Testament's kind of broken down into three main categories. You have your historical books, those first 17, Genesis through Esther, historical. And then you have that middle five is what it's called. It's those poetical books or books of experience or experiential books. And of course, the Psalms fit within those five writings. And then you have those final 17, which are prophetical. So you have your historical on one book end, and you have your prophetical on the back book end. But right in the middle, you have these experiential writings. Job and Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon. And they're experiential books. They tell us about people's experiences. That's one of the reasons that I love to read those five writings, but in particular, the Psalms. They're songs about experience. And here we have a song about an experience that this man had that I really don't know all that he was going through. I don't know all that he was perplexed by, but I know who he took it to. He took it to God. And what really this is going to do for me and for you is going to help us to remember again, or maybe someone learn, how do I get to a place in my life to where I realize and can really say it and mean it and not just repeat it mechanically, robotically, but I can really say, you know what? God is good. God is good. And so I think what he does is the psalmist says, there was a time in my life that I believed God was good. And then if you look at verse number 2, it says, but as for me, my feet, you see that next word, were. He said, I want to tell you about a past experience. My feet were almost gone. My steps, look at that, had, not are, had. He said, I want to tell you about a past experience to where I didn't feel this way. He said, now, I came through that time, and on the back side of it, he said, I want to start out by telling you, God, look at it, verse number 1. You see that word is. That's present tense. So I want to tell you, God is good. But there was a time period that I went through in my life to where I might have said that, but I didn't mean it. I might have said amen when someone in the temple said it, but I didn't really feel that. I wasn't experiencing that God was good. There were some things going on in my life that caused me to question the goodness of God. And so what the psalmist does under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is he walks us through how to get from verse 2 all the way back around to verse 1. I had gotten in a place in my life, past tense, verse number 2, to where I just really didn't know. I wasn't sure. There was some uncertainty in my life. But then we see some steps that he took. And by the way, it wasn't just somebody coming up to him in the temple, or in our day it would be at the church, and saying, well, you know what? You're a Christian. Just get over it and say God is good. That's not going to cause you to think God is good. Not in your heart. You can just say it because you know, well, you know what? That's the way I should feel because, everybody else feels that way. Well, there's no need in saying it just because everyone else says it. If you're not sensing it, if you're not feeling it, if you're not experiencing it, just be honest. And so what he says is I want to tell you how I got back to my foundation, to where I could say God is good. I felt it, and then something happened. I didn't feel it. But then I realized, verse number 28, it was good for me to draw near to God, because it is there that I realize God is good. Amen. Where are you? Are you in verse 1 or verse 2? Can you say God is good, or can you say, you know what? Life's kind of beat me up. And I'm going through some things to where I'm just going to be honest before God. Now listen, you don't have to tell me as the preacher, and if you do, I'll do everything I can to help you. You don't have to tell someone else. God knows how you feel in your heart. God knows how I feel in my heart. Where are you? Do you really believe God is good? Can you say with the psalmist, look at it, truly, God is good. God is good. Can you say that? Or, look at verse 2, but as for me, you know. Now, there's so much here, and so I want to lay a foundation for you this morning, all right? I want you to notice, he said, God is good to Israel. Now, if we brought that up to present time, God's good to his people. Can I tell you, the people that God's dealing with today is his church, his body. And so if we brought that into present tense, it'd be no different. We're his people positionally, whereas they're his people nationally. But as for me, now wait a minute, aren't you one of them? Yes. You see the perplexity he's having? I'm part of who God's good to. I'm part of Israel. I'm Asaph. Look at the way the psalm. You should have Psalm 73, and right under that, you may have some other verbiage, but it should say a psalm of Asaph. What do you know about Asaph? Oh, I've done some research on Asaph. What a very interesting man. Asaph was the chief musician. He was the song leader, if you please. He kind of, with some others, David chose him, and God said, David, I want you to choose a Levite. And what a man this Asaph was. What a man. So I say that, and I want to show you some scripture here in just a moment, because I don't want you to think this is just some guy who is shallow and who just lives by his emotion and just flips like a pancake. Now, this man is grounded. This man is a leader. This man is a prophet. This man is used of God in the temple worship. He is a worshiper of God. And yet he gets to a place where he says, you know what? I'm beginning to doubt some things about God. You ever done that? I think if you've been saved for any length of time, you have done that. Let me show you some things about Asaph. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn back, if you would, to 1 Chronicles chapter number 6. 1 Chronicles, you say, well, I don't know where that is. Well, we're learning on Wednesday nights. Just go to your table of contents, find 1 Chronicles, and turn to that page. And then navigate yourself to chapter 6. 1 Chronicles chapter number 6, okay? And I'm just going to read you a few verses because I want to get to a little meat here that God's laid on my heart to share with you today. So what are we doing? We're looking at an experience that a good believer had, to where this good believer knows God is good to his people. I'm part of his people, and yet I'm doubting that God is good. So there's something not right here. There's something not lining up. I know God is good, but yet I'm in this place in my life to where, in all sincerity, I'm doubting some things. I'm going through some things to where I can say God is good, but I don't know that I could really say I'm experiencing God is good. And there's a big difference. And so in 1 Chronicles chapter number 6, I want you to look, if you would, in verse number 31. 1 Chronicles chapter number 6, verse 31, the Bible says, "And these are they whom David set over the service of song in the house of the Lord." By the way, I just want to say this. God has given us some Asaphs at Fellowship Baptist Church. I praise God for those of you that God has gifted musically, vocally. I praise God for you. You are our Asaphs. Amen. And God has blessed you to be a blessing to me as a pastor and to this congregation of people. God bless you for your talent and your ability. Use it for Him. Use it for Him. And I know you do. And I praise God for that. By the way, it doesn't matter if you're musically inclined and musically gifted. Whatever gift God has given you, just use it to glorify His name. There's nothing better you can do with the talent that God has given you than to glorify His name. Use it for Him. And so he set the songs, the service of song in the house of the Lord after the ark had rest. Now watch this. "And they ministered," in verse number 32, "before the tabernacle in the dwelling place of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they with singing and until Solomon had finished building the house according to their order." You see that in verse 32? Look at verse 33. "And these are they that waited with their children." So you have many generations of Asaphs. And so here's they that waited with their children, the sons of the Kohathites, Heman the singer, the son of Joel, the son of Shemuel. And then you have the others that it names, and I, for sake of time, I'm going to skip down to verse 39. And it says, "And his brother, Asaph, who stood on the right hand." Isn't that something? David had a right-hand man when it came to temple worship. And he said, "Asaph, you are the chief musician. I am looking to you to head this thing up, and I want you to lead us into a way of worship. I want you to prepare our hearts. I want you to write music. I want you to play music." And we'll look at a couple of more. Let's turn to a couple more, and then I'll move on from this. But we're talking about the person Asaph. In 1 Chronicles chapter number, look if you would, in chapter 15. In chapter 15, 1 Chronicles 15, look at verse number 16. 1 Chronicles 15, verse 16, "David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries, harps, cymbals, sounding by lifting up of the voice with joy. So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and his brethren, Asaph, the son of Berechiah." And so you have, here's Asaph again. And these Levites were there. They were leaders in the, as far as in the temple worship. And there's Asaph. And Asaph has this major role. And so we're finding out about the man who wrote the psalm that we're going to talk about. We see that he is a musically inclined man. He's a man that's chosen of God to be a leader among the children of Israel. He's a man that is leading people toward worship. And yet, don't forget, he's going through a difficult time. Here's a man that is called upon to stand up before people, to lead people, but yet in his heart he's saying, "I know God is good to Israel, but as for me," hey, it's easy to stand up before people and lead them in worship and praise and lead them in song about the goodness of God when you're experiencing it. But when you're doubting it, that's when it gets difficult. And so I don't want you to think that we're just dealing with a man who said, "You know what, I think I'm going to take just some time off and search through this problem that I'm going through." No, he was called upon to regularly lead in these duties. Notice, if you would, over in 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, look at verse number 5. It says, Asaph, the chief musician. I could give you scripture after scripture that I have written down here, but for sake of time, I'm going to ask you to turn to one more that I think is very telling about this man Asaph, and that's found in 2 Chronicles chapter number 29, and then we'll go back to Psalm 73. So we're learning some things about Asaph. He was a family man. He had sons. And if you read some of Chronicles, you'll find that his sons grew up under his leadership, and they became leaders in the music department, which is very important. When we read some of the things that he said, there was a time in Asaph's life, he said, I'm going through a difficult time, and he said, I want to be careful. Now listen to me, parent. I want you to hear me very carefully right here, because we're going to spend some time when we get to this middle verses in Psalm 73. Here's a parent. Here's a father who was a leader in church, and he knows that there are certain things that are expected of him. He is a chief leader. Not only is he a chief leader and musician and for King David, the king, the leadership, but in 2 Chronicles chapter number 29, look if you would in verse number 30. 2 Chronicles 29 and verse number 30, we find some very interesting things about our man Asaph. It says, moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer, which is a word for prophet. And the scripture says they sang praises with gladness and they bowed their heads in worship. So here's a man that he's a family man. He's involved in, and I'm just going to use it for lack of better terms. He was involved in temple worship, but I'm calling he's involved in church. He's a leader. He's a chief leader. And he has these sons. Now go back to Psalm 73. And this man, as a leader, that was called upon to lead, he's going through a difficult time. And in his difficult time, God said, I want you to write a song. And I want the song to be about this difficult time you're going through. I want you to tell everyone what you're going through. And so he did. And we have Psalm 73. And he said, you know, God is good. But there's some things that have come at me in my life. Now, I don't know if it was, I know one thing, and we'll see this in just a moment. But as he began to address his state, look at verse number 13 of Psalm 73. He said, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Man, what are you saying, Asaph? He said, you know, sometimes I wonder if serving God really pays. You say, preacher, should a seer say that? Well, he felt it, and God said, I want you to write it down. Should a chief musician, should a leader say that? God said, well, you're not the only one that feels that way. Now, Asaph probably didn't know that. Maybe you don't know that. Maybe you're in a place and you think, you know what, I'm the only one that's in this place. I'm the only one that's going through this. No one else is going through this, and I must be a bad Christian, or I must be, you know, one of God's worst followers. Why am I feeling this way? Shouldn't I be saying, God is good? And when people say, God is good, shouldn't I be saying, amen, praise the Lord? Should I be sitting there saying, well, what about me? I don't know what Asaph was going through entirely. But he said this, he said, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. As far as I can tell, Asaph said in verse number 1 that God's good to Israel, even to such as of a clean heart. Asaph, as far as I can tell from the scripture, I see nothing negative about the man. Living right, doing right. Are you hearing me this morning, church? And yet things are not going right. And somehow we have been sold this false Christianity that if I live right and do right, everything will work out all right. But that's not the Bible. That's not what Jesus taught. Now, God's looking for obedience whether we get blessed or not. Amen. And so, Asaph is saying, I'm struggling. I feel like that I've cleansed my heart. Now, I think it goes back to verse 1. Even to them of a clean heart. I feel as though I've cleaned my heart. I've cleansed my heart in vain. There's a reason. Look at what the rest of that. I've washed my hands in innocency. So I'm not sure that this thing's paying off the way I thought it was going to. Look at verse 14. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. You ever felt like that? Man, God, give me a break. I need to see some light at the end of the tunnel. I just feel like all day, every day, that things, you know, if it can go wrong, it's going wrong with me right now. When it rains, it pours, right? You've been there. I've been there. He's a leader. He's being counted on for leadership. And he's having these questions and these doubts. I want you to notice something, what he says here. He said in verse 15, if I say, he said, you know, I want to talk to somebody about this. But he said, if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. He said, you know, I've got to be careful how I handle this. And I want to speak to you right straight directly to your heart right now. You be careful about the way you handle things when you're in uncertainty, indecision. When you're in a phase in your life where there's doubt and where there's uncertainty, be careful how you voice that. Notice what he said in verse 15. If I say, I will speak thus, he said, I've got a mind just to say what's on my mind. I just might go ahead and just say how I feel right now. And he said, you know, if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. He said, there's a lot of people listening to me. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people listening to you too. There's a lot of people watching me. There's a lot of people watching you too. I really believe that what Asaph is saying here is for everyone, but I think there's not a doubt in my mind that he's saying, I've got some sons that I'm training up to take my place, and I need to be real careful about what I say in front of my kids. Now, I want you to listen to me, parents. Parents, please listen to me. You need to be real careful about the way you handle some things in front of your children, and I do too. Now, I've got grandchildren. We need to be careful. See, the little children and grandchildren, they can't process things the way we can. And so we need to take that into account when we're sitting around the dinner table or when we're at a place in our life where things are not going good and we're just tempted to say, you know what, I just want to say this. And I'm just going to say the way I feel. And I go, be careful now. Be careful. And he said, I need to get some understanding. There was a misunderstanding. And so we see the man, we see the person, Asaph. Now I want to look at the position that he took. He said, I know that God is good. Now I want you to ask yourself this question. Can you truly say, I know that God is good? Now I'm not saying, hey, do you feel that way right now? Can you say in your heart, I just know God is good? I don't understand everything there is to understand about God. Well, I'm glad you understand that. You see, here's part of our problem. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and we don't understand all that God's doing. Say amen with me. I'm trying to help us this morning. Somebody is going to get some help here, I'm telling you. Because we're all going through this. Sooner or later, you're going to go through Psalm 73. And you won't just go through it one time in life. All right? Psalm 73 will keep coming up. Yeah. Thank God for Psalm 23, but thank God for Psalm 73. Because here's a man that says, Psalm 23 might tell you how it feels to be a sheep of the shepherd. Psalm 73 says, I'm kind of feeling like I'm on the outside of that right now. And I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling, I shall not want. I'm not feeling, thou leadest me. Amen? I'm not feeling it. There's something missing. And he said, I've gotten myself in a place to where I'm beginning to doubt and I'm beginning to have these feelings that I don't like. And he said, I'm lacking some understanding and some insight and I need God to help me through this time. And so he said, my position is that God is good. Now, have you asked yourself that question? Be honest with yourself. God knows your heart. I don't know your heart, but God knows your heart. Amen. Do you think God is good? The psalmist said, God is good. But there was a time. He said, my position, God is good. I need to get back there. See, he said, I want to tell you about a time when I wasn't there. Maybe there's somebody here that you know God is good. But life's beat you up a little bit. Some things have happened. And you need to get back to where you can honestly say, I believe God is good. God is good. Brethren, as I stand before you this morning, I'm just bearing my soul before the Lord. God knows my heart. I believe that God is always only good. God has been so good to me. But there's been times in my life that I felt like God had forsaken me. And I wondered, where is God? Where is God? Why am I going through this? What does God want me to do? You say, did you understand, preacher? No, I didn't understand. But God began to minister to me. And God, one of the first things God taught me is there's just things in life you're not going to understand. Because you're not going to understand me. And so if you don't understand me, you're not going to understand my workings in your life. I'm not asking you to understand me, Dale. I'm asking you to trust me. Amen. Trust me. Amen. Do you trust me? If you will trust me, look at verse 28 again. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord. What's that mean, Asaph? Truly, God is good. All the time. When I'm trusting God, when I've learned to trust Him instead of question Him or understand Him or understand His workings and His doings in my life, when I don't understand, when I can't see the ending from the beginning, when I have no idea what God has going on in my life, but I say, God, I don't know what's going on, but I know who you are. I know what you're made of. I know you're good. I know you only know how to be good, and I trust you. I trust you. Not only with my heart, God, I trust you with my life. I trust you. Can you say that? Can you say that? The psalmist said, that's what happened to me. Now I want to close with this. We see the person. We see the position that the psalmist had. He said, I can say now God is good. Verse number 2. This is very, very interesting to me. But as for me, you ever felt that way? You see that all-inclusive statement in verse number 1? Truly, God is good to Israel. But now as for me, though I am of Israel, I feel like I'm on the outside. Everywhere I look, I just see that people are doing good. Now, in a moment, he's going to talk about even those that he didn't think should be doing good, doing good. But right here, he's saying, God's good to Israel. But I don't feel like I'm reaping the benefits of the goodness to God's people right now. Maybe it was a physical problem. You know, sometimes health can make us feel that way. God, why have you taken your hand off my health? I just want to serve you with my life. But I'm going to need good help to serve you in a way that I would like to serve you, Lord. Maybe it's family. God, why am I encountering this in my family? You know how important family is to serving you. I can't serve you in a way that would really be the optimal way I can serve you if my family's not where it needs to be. Maybe it's finances. I don't know. He doesn't say entirely. He just says, you know, I just feel like I'm plagued. As a matter of fact, in verse number 14, I want to read it again. He said, all day long. Verse number 14, morning. I feel like I'm being plagued and chastened. I feel like God's roughing me up a little bit. And I'm not really sure why. That's a tough place to be in. So, preacher, I'm not there. Well, praise the Lord. But it doesn't mean that you won't be. Maybe you have been. And you're struggling to get back to where you were. It can happen. As we go through this psalm, we're going to go all the way through the process to where this psalmist got back to where he said, hey, I got some good news for you. God sure is good. Amen. You say, well, preachers, I said here this morning, I can't say that. I just don't feel that. There's something missing. I feel like I've lost a step or something's happened. Well, maybe you feel like verse 2. Let's read it. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. Don't know if I can take another step. I'm here today, but there's no guarantee I'll be here tonight or next Sunday. Weak. I'm not where I used to be, and I know it. I feel like I'm just treading water. I'm not moving forward. I feel like I'm going under. My feet, look at it again, were almost gone. Look at this. My steps had well nigh slipped. I feel like I'm trying to walk up a slippery slope to get back to where I once was. That's a bad feeling. It's a bad feeling. I want to close with this. What happened here? What happened? Well, I want you to look at some things that the psalmist, when he makes that statement, but as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. When you read that, I'm going to fill in some blanks here, so I want you to look at it. I've already read to you verse 13 and 14. This is his steps. This is his slips. He'd got to the place where he felt like he cleansed his heart in vain. He had washed his hands in innocency. He got in the place where he felt all the day long he'd been plagued and chastened. Look down, if you would, in verse number 20, 21. Thus my heart was grieved, he said, and I was pricked in my reins. He said, my spirit was wounded. I was pricked in my reins, my spirit, my heart. My eyes, my mind. Look, if you would, in verse number 22. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. And this man's wrestling. Do you see what's going on here? Here's a man that's wrestling with the God of heaven. But you know, he's just being honest. What good is it to have a relationship with God if we can't be honest? If we can't say, God, this is how I feel. God, you know how I feel. You're orchestrating most of it, if not all of it. Maybe that's why God is allowing some of these things in our lives, so we'll learn how it is just to be real. Quit putting on a show. I got to tell you, I love you, but I'm not here for you. I need God to do something in my life too. And I'm living this Christian life. I don't just get up here and preach it. I want to practice it. I want it to be real to me. I'm in a relationship with God, and I want to live in a way that would be pleasing to him. And how am I going to do that if I can't even be real with him? And say, God, this is what I'm feeling. I'm struggling here. And you're not going to live all your Christian experience on some mountaintop. Get over that. It's not going to happen. Thank God for the mountaintops. Amen. And I'm glad it takes two of them to make one valley. Amen. There ought to be more mountaintop experiences than valleys. Somebody say amen with me. Amen. But there are valleys. There are low points. And if we can't come before God and say, God, I'm just going to be real and transparent. You know what's in my heart anyway. God, I need you to do something in my life. Because I'm slipping. I'm stumbling. I'm about ready to go down. You might not find me back in God's house. You might not find me in the secret place. I may not break open the book and begin to read if things continue as they are. I'm scared. I don't want to go back. I want to draw near. Isn't that what verse 28 said? I want to draw near. I want to trust you. Are you there? Have you been there? One warning. Look at verse number 3. This we know. I can't tell you what else the man was going through. I don't know. I don't know what made this man feel the way I've just explained to you, like a beast before God. He was wrestling with some things. He's going through some hardship. Hey, the Christian experience has some hard places, brethren. You can say amen to that. It's real. If that turns people away, so be it. I'm not going to lie to people to try to get them to accept something that's not real. The Christian life has some hard places. It's not all a bed of ease. There's a price to pay for discipleship. There's a price to pay for following this Lord Jesus that I present to people. There's a price to pay. It's not a bed of ease. It costs you something to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. But can I tell you, the reward far outweighs the price. Amen. Greatest thing I've ever done was give my heart and life to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Has there been great times? Many. Many. Have there been some not so great times? There have been. But I wouldn't trade it for nothing. I wouldn't trade it. It's those times where I'm in adversity. It's those times when God is putting me through the crucible, that God has made me the man that I've become, and I'm not all I should be, but thank God I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not the man that I was when Jesus rescued me. And it's the crucibles in life. It's the trials. It's the hard places. It's in verse number 2 when I was slipping and when I felt like my feet had well nigh gone that God gave me resolve and fortitude and built character in my life. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you thankful for that? It's those times that I learned to trust Him. If I'm not careful in the good times, I'll trust me. But I'm going to tell you, when the times get tough, that's when God really reveals to me don't have it. I know that's poor grammar, but it sure is good theology. God has it. God can help you, brethren. Please hear me. He can help you through this tough time you're going through. Don't know what it is. I don't know what it was with this, but now this I do know, and this is where I will close. Look at verse 3. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There's one word in that verse that cues us in on where this man had gotten to in his spiritual life. The Bible says as Christians, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. You see that little three-letter word, Saul? Sounds like to me we have a man that is walking by sight. He not only has his eyes doing the work that his heart should be doing, but he has the eyes on the wrong thing in the wrong place. Instead of looking to God and His goodness and how God had been good to him, he had his eyes on the wicked and how they were prospering. So in his eyes, he's seen how what he thought God was being good to them. And so then he kind of got down on himself and said, you know, here I am trying to do right and I'm going through these hard times in my life and here are these people. And we'll get into this next week. It's where we'll pick up. Here's these people. I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And he said, here they are. When you read verses 2 through 12, you see where he's saying they're lofty. They question God. They mock God. And yet it seems like they're prospering while I struggle. Help me to understand that, Lord. It's what he's saying. Now, I think that this is a position he got in because whatever it was that got him down took him away. I don't know if it was a physical situation. Like I said, might have been a little situation in the temple worship. Maybe him and another brother had a little outing and he didn't think much of it. They got a little alt in his heart. I'm going to tell you, you have to be careful about these kind of things. You think, well, you know what? Me and old so-and-so, we had a little rift, but that's okay. We're not best of friends anyway. We'll just let it go. Well, you might end up in verse 3. It doesn't take much to turn us. Is that right? It doesn't take much to turn us. You understand what I'm saying? It can all start with something that we think is just minor, and it could be you could get a report from a doctor. You get a phone call from some financial institution, a child. You get some news on one of your grandchildren. Something could go on down at the local church. Churches are not perfect, you know. You do know that. I do believe this one's about as close as you can get. I'm just carrying on. Man, we're so full of flaws. Amen. You know why? Because we're so full of us. So I wish there was less flaws. Well, I wouldn't advise you to quit coming here, but if you did, there'd be less flaws. I don't like that, preacher. Well, if I quit coming, there'd be less flaws too. You like that better? You understand that, don't you? It's who we are. We're full of flaws, brethren. Full of flaws. That's why we're here. I need some help. How about you? I need God to help me. And I wasn't born with no silver spoon in my mouth and a clean heart. I have issues. You do too. I want you to stand with me. Our time is up. Psalm 73. You say, well, I don't know. Well, I'm telling you. You'll stick with me. I want you to go home and read Psalm 73. You say, well, my goodness, we're already reading Obadiah. Yeah, I know. All them 21 verses are going to tie up all your week. Read Obadiah. Read Psalm 73, just 28 verses. Read it. And say, God, speak to me. Teach me from this psalm. Help me to learn some things. Prepare my heart to receive the Bible messages that I'm going to receive in the weeks to come. We're going to learn how to get to a place where we don't want to be, back to a place to where we need to be. To where we can say and mean it, truly, God is good to Israel.